those of us who don't get to leave to go with the children. Let us now turn to the Old Testament lesson. It's the assigned reading for the day. It comes from the prophet Jeremiah, acknowledging first his call, and then as he goes down, the fact that the message that the Lord gives him will be perhaps positive for some, but negative to others, probably depending upon their relationship with God's will. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." And the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading from the Gospel of Luke is what in the gospel is called Jesus' Sermon on the Plain. And in the beginning, it parallels much of the Beatitudes from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then Jesus looked at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, Super Bowl Sunday is here. It's a great sporting event. It's a wonderful reason to gather with friends and family and nibble your way through the pregame show and the game. And football is a window, I believe, into America. Provides a token of our society's linking of celebrity status, power, and wealth. Because there's physical power on the field, or there will be before the day is over, and there is financial power in the SoFi Stadium. Households in LA County, California, have a median annual income of $68,044, which is less than the median annual income across the United States, $79,000. In the county, 13.2% of the population for whom poverty status is determined, lived below the poverty line. On the other hand, for Super Bowl, the ticket prices range from $4,000 and up. The suites at SoFi Stadium cost between $250 and $1.1 million, and very few are available for sale. How many local residents would be able to watch the game in person, let alone, or even afford a beer in a souvenir cup? I also saw last night that between $7.6 and $8 billion are expected to be bet on the Super Bowl, with I'm sure some people hoping they'll be able to afford going next year. Millions upon millions of people will watch the game. I will be one of them. And in the end, one team will be crowned the world champions and go to Disneyland, and the other team will, they'll be the losers. Also, this week we have witnessed other contests of different kinds of power. A number of states announced dropping mask requirements in part due to political pressures. One side saw themselves as winners, the other side as losers. We're watching the Ukraine warily to see whether violence or diplomacy will rule the day. And we hope that there won't be too many losers. So let me ask, in all these ways of winning and losing that are popular in our world, or at least unfortunately common, do we see winners as ones who are blessed and the losers as those who missed a blessing? If so, Jesus turns our understandings of blessings upside down, for his blessings, as accounted today, did not come to those who are trying to get a blessing or who seem to be winners in our worldly categories, but come to those who understand that the kingdom of God is different from what we experience now. A lot different. Think about the standards that we see acted out on Super Bowl Sunday and in many other arenas of life. Don't they go something like this? Blessed are the rich because they can buy what they want. Blessed are the strong because they can take what they want. Blessed are the winners because they get the prize. And blessed are the talented because they will be admired and loved by all. And blessed are the self-confident, for they will be able to achieve what self-doubters cannot. And yet in our reading today, Jesus sets a different standard. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, they'll inherit the earth. Those who mourn will be comforted. And then to make it clear that the kingdom of God brings reversal of expectations, in Luke he adds the woes. Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. And woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. In Jesus' teachings, in the breaking in of the kingdom of God, there's something a little bit weird going on. And it's difficult, I think, for us to grasp what it means for us. Because let's face it, it's nice to say that those who mourn are blessed because they will be comforted. And it's a thing of hope to consider that if you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, you will inherit the kingdom of heaven. But who wants to mourn? Who necessarily wants to be meek? Who wants even perhaps to be shot to death in a church or a synagogue, or on the street, or even nailed to a cross because of one's faith? Who wants the blessing if it must come at such a price? No one. So maybe we need to get past the idea that blessing is won by what we do. Maybe blessing is something God bestows, even if it is to folks who look like they may have lost according to the rules of the playing field. The Beatitudes, the blessings and the woes concerning who is blessed or will be are not, I believe, prescriptions saying this is what we must do, but they are descriptions of what God is already doing for people. Think about it. What does God ask of us? We see some of it outlined in these Beatitudes. I love the summary in the prophet Micah. Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Nice and simple. Doesn't tell you to mourn, doesn't tell you to go be persecuted, doesn't tell you to be meek and a doormat. And the problem we have in life, problems we have, are not so much with what it is God wants, but what it is that we want. How would you finish the sentence, I will be happy when? Think about it for a second. There are many, many possible endings, and they may change as we age. Going through my life, I might have answered it, I will be happy when summer comes and I don't have to go to school. I'll be happy when I grow up and move out on my own. I'll be happy when I fall in love and get married. I'll be happy when I buy a new car. I'll be happy when I get promoted. I'll be happy when I get to retire. I'll be happy when my aches and pains go away. I will be happy when they lay me to rest. When will we be happy and what will it take? What are the chances it's going to happen? How long will it take? 1 year, 5 years, 50 years? We all want some sense of blessedness, of happiness, of comfort. And God promises these things, some in this world and some in his coming kingdom. But what God wants is not for us to seek blessedness, happiness, and comfort for their own sake, but rather, as Jesus says, God wants us to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Or it is written in the prophets, do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with God. And by the way, the lonely and the sad and those who are truly broken in spirit, the poor and the oppressed, those who are persecuted, beaten, and killed for their faith, those who seek to make peace and those who mourn how death has robbed them of goodness, all those who are overlooked by this world, those whom advertisers will never seek to sell anything to because they are losers, those folk are already blessed in God's eyes and will be blessed in the kingdom. These folks are the ones whom Christ has come to love and save in addition to ourselves. And they are the ones he calls us to help love and to help save even now in his name. None of it means we aren't blessed each in our own ways by God. And we need to recognize that they are blessed and will inherit the kingdom of God, not because any of them sought persecution, not because they attempted to become poor in spirit, not because they willingly handed over loved ones to death, not even because they worked to show mercy to those around them, but because they were open to the love of God and because God wants them to have what the world has not given them and maybe cannot give them in the final analysis. So the Beatitudes are not a prescription of what we should do in order to be blessed. They are a description of what God does and yet will do for those who turn to him. There will be winners and losers before the evening is over. There are self-described winners and those who get labeled losers after different decisions are made in the country. But today, in the kingdom of God, which Jesus initiated, for those who follow the prescription of God to do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with him, there will be only winners. They're not going to win the admiration necessarily of the media. They're not going to win a big raise in pay. They won't put a gold ring on their fingers. They're not even going to go to Disney World. But God has already been working to bring blessings in those lives, even as God works to bring blessings in ours. And as we take on Christ's perspective on this, I can't help but think of words from the poet Leonard Cohen. To ring the bells that still can ring, forget your perfect offering, there's a crack in everything. That's how light gets in. So perhaps the cracks in the lives of people that Jesus called blessed, the cracks in our own lives made by the impact of human sinfulness out and about in this world, from anxiety and sorrow, from struggles to be faithful and righteous. Maybe it's those cracks exactly that let God's light of love in. And maybe the same cracks are also how the light of Christ gets back out to light the lives of others. It begins now as we seek to live faithfully. For as Christian writer Dallas Willard has said, the gospel is less about how to get into the kingdom of heaven after you die, and more about how to live in the kingdom of heaven before you die. Let us accept the description of blessed, and let us seek to live as kingdom citizens starting today. Amen.